Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm excited to have some new friends in the studio today, starting off with Jamar Johnson, founder and CEO of CBL, which is the Community Basketball Leagues. Welcome, Jamar.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you. And I know you've brought some friends along to help tell some great stories. We've got Robert Branch, CBL Phoenix League Director. Welcome, Robert.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thrilled to have you here. And Frank Ceballos. I should have asked you ahead of time. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Close enough.
It's
Ceballos.
Ceballos. Thank you, Frank Ceballos. I thought I had it nailed, but clearly I didn't. And Frank is a realtor with Realty One Group and the founder of React. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Jamar, let's start with you, since you're the one who you and I connected on LinkedIn, I think it was.
Yes.
And then I realized when I had a chance to read a little bit about the CBL and your backstory that you and Stephen Larkin, the super loan man, are friends.
Yes.
And then it dawned on me how we must have connected. I think you might have seen him on one of our shows or heard him on our show.
I did. I'd listened to his show when you had him on. Me and Steve were lifelong friends. We go back a long, long ways. But yeah, I it was random that we connected on LinkedIn and how we did and all, but I was glad that we did. And then, you know, like I said, when we was out in the studio, out in the lobby there talking about that, it all clicked.
For me as well. Now I know how we found our way to each other. So tell us about CBL. Basketball is your love, and the league's been around for nine years.
This is our ninth year now. We're coming up on our ninth year. Yeah. So, 9 years ago, I had this vision, and it just came off of really from a personal experience. I grew up playing basketball. It was my first love. I was able to have a really good high school career, earned a scholarship. And then after going to the University of Nebraska and having a great career in Nebraska and stuff, unfortunately, I didn't get drafted. And that just left, you know, kind of like a huge hole in my heart and stuff. And then, you know, and my life, because it had been my life for, you know, 22 years. And now it's taken away. So what do you do? But unfortunately, you know, like I said, I was able to focus on not just playing basketball, but, you know, my overall life and the opportunities and experiences that it provided for me. And once I got past that, this thing of it happened, it clicked where I just saw this, like, there's millions of guys like me. There's millions of players like me. And if I solve this problem of giving them an opportunity to keep playing and keep that love and that passion and that hope alive, this is how it became a business. You know what I mean?
So CBL is not, I'm not trying to downplay any other leagues, but it's not just a rec league. Like your focus and purpose is really around keeping it competitive and giving guys an opportunity to perhaps even get to a college, to play in college or even semi-pro. Tell us a little bit about how you are different than maybe the way I might understand basketball leagues to be.
Yeah. So the focus is, you know, because we, you know, our focus is on the adult market, you know, we have three types of players that's out there. There's going to be your players that are coming out of high school that's looking for college opportunities. There's going to be your college players that's coming out that's looking for professional opportunities. And then there's going to be people within the communities all over the country that are just passionate about basketball and want to play competitive. So I wanted to build a league that spoke to all of those players and provided something for all of those players. But then, as you know, what keeps us from being just a basketball league? You know, at the end of the day. So that's when I said, well, in order for it to be more than that, we have to build this out to be a platform that can also serve coaches, also serve individuals who are interested in being sports executives and developing their skills, you know, to work in that field. And then as well, we wanted to be kind of like a marketing tool for small business in the communities. The Suns is great, the professional teams and stuff like that is great, but the price points to advertise with them, it's very expensive, and not all small businesses can get those opportunities sometimes. So we wanted to provide something for small businesses as well to be able to leverage our marketing platform and stuff. And that's kind of what we set out to do and how we wanted to differentiate ourselves.
and from very humble beginnings.
Very, yes.
And a lot of challenges to get to where you are today. So when you started the league, it was how many guys?
We were at about 144 players. Now, and let me say this. When we started, okay, we had about 75 players. I did 6 months of promotion back in my hometown before we launched it, and we got everybody excited about it, everybody knowing about the league and it was coming and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of players thought, oh man, this is, too good to be true. So a lot of players were still on the fence. And then we started playing, and then our local newspaper and local news media, were picking us up like we were regular high school or college basketball, games and stuff. So we had our stats in the papers, players getting their pictures in the paper, local news media covering our games. We had a TV game that year. So after that, registration just sold out.
Yeah.
It was it after the first week. And it's been one of those things ever since. And now today, here we are from 144 players in 2009 to today, we're over 26,000 players in our database, close to 27,000. Yeah. So,
and all over the country.
All over the country. And our biggest problem today is that we're doing some things, because we don't have the bandwidth to actually have teams and leagues operations up and running. So that's one of the things that we're focusing on, this year as a business and trying to get better with, so we can get those other cities up and running as well.
Fantastic. And so you've got your partner in crime here, Robert, with the Phoenix League, right?
Yes. Robert is our league director for our Phoenix League, does a great job in helping me, run Phoenix and stuff. And it has been a huge thing for me because, when you're a small business, you wear a lot of hats. And the dream for every small business owner is for you to find someone who gets the vision and can take it and run with it and has the skill set. And that's what Robert does. He understands the vision. He knows where we're going with this. But he also has excellent basketball, background himself and coaching background and stuff. And he's a trainer. He's going to talk to you about that in a little bit. But he's able to, take a load off of me from having to do so much by myself. And if I could multiply him,
you would.
this is the holy grail for us to scale right here.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, this is, the model.
And I can tell that he's a very humble man.
He is. He's a great guy.
So, Robert, tell us, how did you connect with CBL? Like, how did you land here?
Well, Jamar had an ad on, I think it was Craigslist.
Craigslist.
A friend of mine found it and sent it to me. When she sent it to me, that was exactly what I was looking for. And my story is pretty similar to Jamar's, right? And I had a very successful high school basketball career. However, I didn't obtain that college scholarship. And that left a huge void, in my heart. So what I decided to do was, going to the coaching realm because I love the game. I love kids. I love people. And I truly understand how important, sports is to the youth as well as those who are looking for opportunities. And so when this friend of mine saw this ad, I was just very thrilled because it was exactly what I was looking for.
Without even knowing that something like that was out there.
Exactly. So what that taught me at that particular time was having this business that Jamar has started, he has a platform for those who are looking for executive positions who might not be able to, either get a high school coaching job or maybe a college coaching job or even at the NBA level. But what this does, it provides, guys an opportunity to get that experience and take that experience to another level. And, by doing that now, by having this league and by doing that, guys are getting comfortable, they're getting confident, and they also know that this league can actually take them to where they really, would like to one day go.
Love it. And you've been with CBL for how long?
About a year.
A year. Yes. And how many other league directors do you have, Jamar? Are there several?
So we're actually, have opening positions and we're hiring all over the country right now. So Robert is the one for Phoenix. We also have one in Atlanta. We've got a league director in Indiana. Altogether is probably six or seven. as of right now.
But again, growing, you're looking for more.
Yes. It's a like I said, it's a process that we have to go through, especially with the hiring process being remote.
Yes.
We're doing a lot of over the phone. And so we take them through a process, you know, because a lot of people, unfortunately, and I should say unfortunately, but understandably, a lot of people are looking for opportunities for paycheck.
Yep.
You know, and we kind of have to go through a process to where, yes, we're going to be able to provide you with an income, and we have to know we have the right person, you know, because we've had people that we've hired, we've paid them money, all that kind of stuff. And then when the league get ready to start, they bail on us. That hurts the players, hurts our league, hurts our brand, you know, that kind of thing. So we're just trying to go through a process with hiring and stuff like that. But we're hiring. We're looking for people all over the country.
Yeah. And so aside from a love for basketball, what are some of the attributes or qualities you look for in folks that may be considered in some of these director positions?
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, one of the key things, we're very process oriented. So we're going to give you, you know, when you apply for this position, we give you steps. You need to do this, this, and this.
So you gotta be a follower.
You have to be able to follow the instructions. A self-starter,
but also you've got to be willing to say, I'm going to do it the way that the league has laid it out for me.
Yes. And then at the end of the day, if you can go through our steps and go through the processes, that shows us that basically at the end of that, that's going to show us that you understand the vision. You have the passion for this. And this is not just something you're looking for a paycheck for, although you're going to do that or you're going to get that. But so it's just going through our process and everything. And it's kind of got a self weed out process in it because a lot of people don't, they were like, oh, I don't want to
have to do the work.
Yeah. And it's like, send us three facilities that you would like to have your league at. That simple.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone doesn't, you know, is looking for a paycheck, then they're not going to go through all of these, you know, steps and processes and stuff that we have in place. But once we get to that, we know we have the right person. Once we get through that process, we know we have the right person and we can launch that league. Because at the end of the day, like I said about Robert, I don't have to hold his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He knows what to do. He understands the business itself that we're in. So those are individuals that we need to be connected with in cities because we can't micromanage.
Right. No. You get too broad, too far, and too many things to do to continue to grow the business and, without having to handhold. You
know, and the great thing about, you know, our business is that we get rapid response from players when things are not going the way it should be going.
The feedback loop is right there.
It's very tight.
Yeah.
It's very
tight. That's good, though, because that's what keeps you second to none.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the Phoenix League. What do you love about it and what's happening in 2018 and some of the training coming up too?
Yeah, go ahead,
Ron. I'm looking at you.
Well, we're definitely going to have some exciting, you know, things to look forward to. Multiple teams involved, very competitive, and also our operation excellence. This is part of what Jamar and I, you know, really emphasize during our meetings. Is wanting to make sure that we hone in on the operation excellence because when guys come to the league, they want to have that professional, you know, feel.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for us to do that, we have to make sure that, you know, all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And that allows us to really, really get our league, you know, running effective and efficiently the way that we'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could add to that, the reason why we're focusing on our operational excellence is because, you know, I tell, you know, everybody all the time, we don't sell a basketball league. We sell a professional basketball league experience.
And, tell us and about that's, the difference. Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference. That's the thing that, you know, separates us from playing in, you know, City of Tempe Rec League or the YMCA as opposed to playing in the CBL. We want to give them a professional experience to where they say, you know what? I'm not even mad that I didn't get a scholarship or go overseas and get that pro contract. I just want to keep playing in the CBL until that happens for me. That's our goal. That's our intent.
And to go back to what you said earlier about posting the stats, are you still doing that? You still post the stats and you really continue to give it this professional, full-on professional experience.
Yeah. So one of the great things, we have a new website now. Our stats, our stat system that we use is iScout. It's totally integrated with our website so that, you know, players will be able to get stats in real time. We also film the games, those kinds of things and stuff. So at the end of the day, we're helping them to build their own resume. to whether they want to use it for professional or college, you know, opportunities to pursue or just for fun. You know what I mean? So
there's room for both there.
Yeah. It's all there for you. Yeah. It's all there. So that goes back to what Robert was saying about the operational excellence. We're recruiting team members that's going to help us give that experience to the players to where they're like, you know, just blown away by it.
Yeah, love it. And not everyone is going to have an opportunity to move to a college career. Right. And certainly even less amount of people who are going to move on to a semi-pro or pro team. So this would be a great opportunity to fill that void. You both kind of spoke to that when you're an athlete and you've grown up playing a sport, it's really, I want to use the term, it's all you know, which I don't mean to say that, but it's really how your whole life centers around and focuses on that sport. And so when you leave high school, and if there isn't that space for you on a team, for a scholarship or even a walk-on basis, how do you fill that void? So this is the perfect opportunity to do this.
This is like, you know, what do they call it? Lightning in a bottle?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's that second opportunity that a lot of players don't get. You know, sometimes there's a lot of late bloomers, you know, and developers, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, they come out of high school and then all of a sudden they get a lot of confidence in their skills and they play a different way because now it's not about how they're being coached or, you know, that kind of thing. So it opens up, you know, a lot of opportunities, a lot of ways. And since we've started, you know, we've put to date, I think we got about 12 players that we've helped get into college programs and nine players get overseas professional contracts so far. Our last quarter season that we had a player, he's now playing in Bolivia. He's in Bolivia right now. But we've had players.
Fantastic.
One player has got to the D League or to the G League, what they call it today, which is NBA minor league.
Okay.
That's the big thrill for us. When we're able to see guys get that college opportunity or get that professional contract, that's huge. That's huge. That shows us that we're doing, you know, our job and we're helping guys and stuff. And that's one of the most important things for us.
Love it. So you had mentioned earlier how important sponsors are for the leagues. Let's talk about the business community here in Phoenix. You have then small to medium, large size businesses who are sponsoring the Phoenix League specifically, or do they sponsor CBL overall? How does that work?
So they can do both, but our national brand sponsors is what we call those who sponsor the whole league nationwide. So we're still recruiting national league sponsors and stuff. We've had some good conversations so far.
Good.
But we also have local sponsors as well that do the local league here in Phoenix and the local teams. But we're always pitching sponsors. That's a never, you know, ending type of thing.
I'm familiar.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I know how that works. Yeah.
So we're always looking for sponsors that are, you know, looking for a good opportunity. And we have various, you know, branding and marketing stuff that we can do for them, from uniforms to arena signage.
Website presence, sure. Yep. Social media shout outs.
All of that.
To know.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a great platform. Definitely, you know, some good products and stuff. If anybody interested taking a look at that, you know, definitely contact us and we'll show you. And again, we don't have the price points like the professional,
NBA the benefit.
Teams
yeah.
and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Good. Robert, I know this is an adult league, but is there a place for the younger kids as well for training and academy or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a place for them. And this is part of what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to definitely get the youth, you know, involved with the program similar to what we have, you know, for our adult, you know, players, because not every player is going to make it to college. Not every player is going to make it to, you know, the NBA or get the pro contract. So we want parents and kids to have, you know, a realistic idea that, you know, if you don't get the pro contract or you don't get the college scholarship, that there is still room for development. And as long as you're developing within, you know, the scope of, you know, basketball, whether that's the fundamentals and things like that, you know you're prepping yourself and there's a place for you if those things don't, you know, come to fruition.
Great to know. So if I had a high school kid who was playing basketball and I'm listening to the show, where would they kind of enter into the CBL? Is it a mentorship program or do they wait till they graduate? Tell us how that would happen.
Yeah. So what we do, because we don't offer a youth league, so what we do instead is we offer free camps and clinics for youth players. And that is through via our sponsorships.
Okay.
That we're able to do that. But then what we encourage those, you know, campers, youth that attend our clinics and whatnot, is to get with Robert so they can do personalized training. And one of the things, you know, Robert, again, this is Robert being very humble. So I'm going to toot his horn for him.
You'll need to do that he's smiling away from the mic.
Yeah, so one of the things Robert is excellent at is identifying a player's skill set and where they need to develop and work on and, you know, all those things. He's very, very good at that. And so this is why we would encourage parents to get with Robert or some of our league directors that are doing personalized training on the side, because here's the key thing about sports today and something that I tell parents and the youth all the time. There's so many distractions out there now for the youth. And so you have to be kind of like ultra focused on what you're doing when it comes to being an athlete in today's, whether it's, you know, basketball, football, baseball, what have you, softball, you got to be focused on it. And the players that are excelling and getting those opportunities in basketball, you don't have to be the LeBron James and scoring 30 and 40 points a game. Sometimes you can get 10, 15 rebounds. Sometimes you could be a point guard that gets 10, 15 assists instead and 8 points. And, you know, and that can get you a scholarship. It is skill set that are focused on specific, you know, positions and all those kind of things. Steve Kerr, who is the coach of Golden State Warriors, he was a guard. He was a two guard. He wasn't the best, you know, two guard and stuff, but he made a lot of money in the NBA being a specialty player, because every time Michael Jordan threw him the ball, he would knock down that three pointer like it was nothing. You know what I mean? So specialty players get opportunities. And that's what we try to build on. I think Robert tries to build on with youth and getting them to focus on, you know, maybe becoming a specialty player after he looks at and assesses their skill set and then growing them from there to be a more rounded, developed player. So that's what I say to you. You know, get involved in our camps and clinics and then get with Robert on personalized training and stuff like that. And we're going to be doing that all around the country, not just here in Phoenix, but with all of our, you know, league directors and stuff. They'll have the camps and clinics and personalized training for youth.
Excellent. Is there a camp coming up, dates that we should be aware of? Or
We will announce that on our website.
Sure, we'll look for that.
So definitely coming up.
Good. Very good. So, Jamar, tell us, now Frank's been awfully patient and quiet, but tell us how you and Frank connected. I know that was over at Galvanize.
Yeah. It's sometimes you meet people who are, number one, you're destined to meet them, but then at the same time, when you meet them, it's just like you connect. And that's kind of me and Frank's story. We met at Galvanize at 1 Million Cups. 1 Million Cups is kind of like a quasi-networking, but more like business presentation, pitch type of thing to help you prepare and just do an introduction of your business and stuff. It's a great opportunity, and I encourage, you know, all, you know, business owners around the country, if there's a 1 Million Cups chapter in your city, definitely, you know, seek out an opportunity to do that. It's a great experience. But me and Frank met at that. We were just talking, and he heard me over talking with someone about, you know, the CBL and telling about it. And, you know, he's a former player and basketball enthusiast, what I call him. You know, we just started talking about it and stuff. And it was, you know,
instant
good conversation there.
Yeah.
And then I asked him, hey, well, so what do you do and stuff? And he started telling me about what he does. And, you know, he's in real estate. He's been a real estate agent for some time now, him and his wife. They're a team. And then he told me about, you know, his other thing, and it just connected with me. And I was like, we have to talk about this. So we ended up arranging to meet a couple of days later in Starbucks. And we thought we was going to be there for a half an hour, 45 minutes, just a quick meet and greet and, you know, get in a little bit more about what we do. I think we was there for about 2.5, 3 hours.
My. It was 2.5 hours for sure.
And we were just talking and stuff, and he was telling me about what he was doing. And I just got super excited for him because, you know, one of the things I just love doing is when, you know, I connect with people that, you know, like me, will have a passion for something just like I do. Mm-hmm. I just want to help them. I just want to help. I don't want nothing in return. I just want to help you achieve your goal or achieve that thing that you're trying to do, because I know how hard it is, you know, from my own personal experience. So, you know, I just want to help people like that any way I can.
Love it. Well, which is why, obviously, we both thought that having Frank with us today would make a lot of sense. So, Frank, let's shine the spotlight on you a little bit. Tell us about React. We talked a little bit about it in the lobby, but I know there's so much more for our listeners to hear and get us caught up as to what React is.
Well, React stands for Respond Effectively Against Credible Threats. The company is designed to help prepare people for readiness or response in extreme danger. So that could be an active shooter situation. It could be a workplace violence situation. It could just be even a robbery situation. How you are going to react. Your mental state is very paramount in this. So that's the meaning behind REACT.
So how does a realtor decide that he's going to found a company about that? Clearly, there's a backstory.
There is. actually, I went full-time in real estate on August 25th of 2017. I've had my license for 6 years. My wife's been a full-time agent. And I, after 8 years in law enforcement, I just felt like it was time for me to hang that chapter up in my life and go full-time in real estate and be more involved with the real estate industry and to be with my family more. And so when I left law enforcement, I thought I left all of that behind, but there was always still a very passionate side about this kind of training because I used to teach it for the state of Arizona. So I did it for over 3 years. Actually, I was put in charge of putting the program together for the employees at the state capitol. After 3 years, that program, I taught over 5,000 state employees, and it was moved to go statewide for all state employees. So
there's clearly a huge need for this.
There is. There is a huge need. And people don't realize that what it really can do. It helps people prepare. There are times that you hear something, you need to say something, and you can help an employee that's maybe in a violent situation at home. And by you getting somebody else involved or telling a supervisor or an HR director, you can get them the resources that they need. I honestly could speak about a specific situation that happened at the Capitol where an employee got involved and helped another employee. And I can honestly tell you that employee is alive today because of that another employee.
Their life was saved as a result.
Their life was saved because the person that was making threats against them would have carried it out.
Wow.
So, you know, they were in tune. They went through the training and they knew. They called me directly because I was very accessible. And they asked me, what do I think? I said, let me get somebody over. Let me get a trooper that's on the road right now to come over there. And then since I was an acting supervisor at the time, I went as well. And I was like, I need to get some additional assistance on this because we do have a situation. But it's just training people to understand what to look for. It's behaviors of concern.
If we're left to our own thinking, I would imagine we're not always making the right choices if we're scared, right?
No, I mean, tell him about the quiz that I failed. He gave me a quiz, and he asked me some questions. What would you do in this scenario? Remember that? And Frank, and
I'm trying to remember the exact questions I asked you, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, because I was like, and I totally got it wrong. So I was like, man, and that's why I was like, Frank, you have to get this out. You have to get in front of it. And this is not a conversational piece. I told him this is a business.
This is a full-on business,
yes.
Right? We spoke in the lobby. Schools, obviously places of business, government entities, nonprofits.
Sporting events,
right? Any place that we would gather with more than two people. But I would imagine that we need to know the protocol. We need to know how to protect not only ourselves, but also look out for people who might be in trouble.
Well, it boils down to, I would say, the three protections of a protective shield. The first component would be awareness, preparation's the second, and the last one is rehearsal. Now, when you are aware, you need to be aware of your surroundings and being in tune to what's going on around you and not just having that tunnel vision. When you go into a store, look for ways out. Look for ways to get for safety. Look for ways to, if you have to, defend yourself. And then preparation, when you're walking through, all right, this is my plan. This, if this happens, I'm at work. If something bad happens, I'm going to get out. But having those ideas and then rehearsing it, actually trying it. If you need to leave a 15-story building by walking down the stairs, can you walk down 15 flights of stairs? I found out there was one building when somebody left the side door, and they went down 15 flights of stairs, there was no way to return. They couldn't get into another suite because it was key card access only. So they had to go all the way straight down.
Oh, wow.
So are you physically able to do that? There's a saying of run, hide, fight, but there's other pieces inside of that you need to understand. Not everybody can run. So what do you do if you can't run? Let's say you can't get out. Well, you need to look at about hiding and then keeping out. Mm-hmm. And if there's more than just one person in the room, you need to spread out. You know, the last piece is takeout. And that's when the person, you might have to defend yourself. you have to make the decision that you're going to go home. And that's what it boils down to.
Fascinating, especially when we see in our news so many more and so much more frequency to these epic situations that they just feel like they keep happening.
They're being brought into the news more. I really strongly believe that we can prevent a lot of these school shootings by teaching the students what to look for. There was a student, and I want to say it was in Colorado, where she was on Snapchat a couple years ago, where she saw another young man sent some post saying that he was going to do some violence in a school here in Phoenix. She saw that and she did the right thing. She took another phone. She took a photo, went to her school resource officer. Mm-hmm. And by them getting a hold of the Phoenix Police Department, they were able to track down what school, because she was able to get him to give her more information. But that young lady made a decision. And the kid wasn't going to do anything. It was a joke, a very bad joke.
But what if it weren't?
Exactly. Still, to this day, I mean, that girl, you know, they praised her and they gave her an award from her city, but she reacted. And that's, a lot of people don't react.
I see sometimes those, you know, social media videos of even people getting into a physical fight. And rather than people coming in to help and assist and break the fight up, they're videotaping it. they're recording it, right? So just for the, I don't know, the drama of it.
The entertainment of it.
But again, to Jamar's point, unless I know what I'm looking for, listening for, watching for, and have proper preparation, and to your point, practiced, I don't know that I would know what to do in a situation. You know, I'm only 150 pounds and 5'3", so I don't know how much help I could be. But if I knew what I needed to look for, listen for, and how to respond, I can protect myself and others.
Well, you know, even being you're the size that you are, you can defend yourself. There's, I mean, if something happened in this radio station right now, there's so much equipment here that you can help defend yourself with.
Hmm.
And you can use, it's your life or theirs. They made a decision to take a person's life. You need to make a decision to defend yours. And if you need to use that keyboard or whatever you have in front of you, you're going to use it.
Karen, we're going home today.
Right. Yes, and I'll be prepared.
Yeah,
it's fascinating today that you said that, because I never would have thought that. I mean, these are pretty heavy mic stands, and of course the soundboard. I think that if something happened like that, I would be thinking I'm defenseless. I don't have a weapon. I don't have something. But just even that conversation, how brief that was, now, you know, obviously I hope to be safe, but I now will know that I can just look around me and find something to be able to defend myself. So tell us about the future of React. Who can we get you in front of? How can we help you grow this?
Right now, it's growing. The biggest thing, we get in front of churches, business owners, just to show them the need to train their people, because this is not just for their employees at work. It's also for their employees when they get home. You know, they can take this and teach their, if they have kids that are going into high school or junior high, it needs to be discussed. I know parents are scared of talking about this, but it's a big topic.
If we're not talking about it, we've done damage. Jamar?
Yeah, and this is, you know, unfortunately, we live in an era and we live in an age, I guess I should say, that this has to become a lifestyle. Security, you know, being security-minded has to be a lifestyle. When I grew up in Indiana, I remember there were days or nights sometimes where we didn't lock our front door, you know, and
absolutely,
all that kind of stuff. And if I left my bike out in the yard at night, it, you know, it was there in the morning.
Still be there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But now we live in an age where we have to be security minded. And security has to become a lifestyle for, like you said, for everybody, just for our society overall, because there's so many things that play into why people do things that, you know, are crazy like that, you know, harming other people when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, you know, the one thing, and this is what I love about his business, about Frank's business, is that it could curb that. It could stop it. We could eliminate it, you know, and it starts, like he said, with awareness and people just understanding the necessity of it. So that's my thing. That's why I get on my soapbox for him all the time, you know, because I love what he's doing. And I know it's going to impact this world.
I really appreciate it, Jamal. You know, one of the things, it's security-minded. It's not being paranoid. I want to make sure everybody knows
difference.
That. There's a big difference. You're not walking around scared about everything. You're just being aware of your surroundings. And one of the biggest things, I think, in this technology age is two things. One, headphones are great to listen to music, but sometimes we don't take them off and really listen to what's going around us. And then putting down our cell phones, and just taking a second just to look around and say, okay, you know what? Everything looks good. Because we're so focused on what's going on in today's world, trying to keep up on Facebook and Instagram and all those great social media apps, we're not listening to those signs that are around us. I mean, every dangerous situation that has occurred, there's always been signs in them when they've been investigated. There's always been some kind of somebody heard something, somebody saw something.
But we just have to be paying attention.
You have to be paying attention. And you have to just like, you know what? I don't know if this person was joking when they said it, but I'm still going to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing.
Yeah. How much does instinct, you know, play a factor in all of this?
I think instinct plays a big factor. If you feel something is wrong or is going to be wrong, you need to say something to somebody. Instinct is huge. I was just going to actually say something, but instinct is key to your survival.
And being able to react, like trusting instincts. Because sometimes if you have this instinct, but you don't necessarily act on it. You're like, well, maybe I'm just overanalyzing, or observing the situation. So then you don't do anything about it.
One of the things I will say is let's say you think you hear a gunshot. You figured it out that you believe it. You're not waiting for somebody else to confirm. You're not waiting for Jamal to tell you that, yeah, I concur with you that you heard a gunshot. That's what you believe. Then you need to react. That's your instinct. Go get out, go hide, whatever you need to do if you're able to. But that is key, is not just waiting for somebody else to tell you that they concur with you.
With our technology the way it is, and it's so available, and we, again, to what you had mentioned earlier, where our faces are constantly in our phones and that sort of thing, I can't help but wonder that a lot of our youth are less and less connected with their instinct, right? Because so we have to continue to teach and be present, like what's going on right here and right now.
Right.
Because if I'm not in touch with that voice, and if I don't trust it, then I'm going to be slow to react, or let my mind get in there and start playing tricks on me and saying, well, you know, oh, it's not that important, or somebody else probably heard it, or you're just, you know, making stuff up. But you're saying trust it.
Trust it. You know, I could tell you a quick story about the founder and CEO of a company in Virginia. It's called the Center for Personal Protection and Safety. He was telling about when he was on stage, he was about to give a presentation of this, and I'm going to be going to see him in April. His oldest son sent him a text message, says, hey, Dad, there's an active shooter in my high school. What do I do? And he's standing on stage about to go present, and he's like, how do I respond to this? You know, I want to tell him to get out, but that's not the right thing for me to say because I'm not there. And he had to go through and give him son, like, I want you to, what do you see? What do you hear? And then the last one, I'll never forget, he goes, also one thing, don't get shot.
Wow.
Because he was telling his son, he's putting that in his son's head, that you're going to come home.
Yes.
And it turned out it was nothing. Everything was fine. It was just some kid, you know, not thinking clearly. So it worked out. But he had, you know, he worked through that with his son because, you know, even though we teach this stuff to hundreds and thousands of people, sometimes our own family doesn't always listen.
Right. And in that moment, he was getting ready to speak to hundreds of people. And again, going back to that thought around how our mind plays tricks on us. Like, do I give my son the short version and I make this the priority, these people who are waiting for me? Or do I really talk him through it? You know, even somebody who's as skilled and as adept as he is, I love the way that he just talked him through it and said, you're coming home. don't get shot. That's your number one priority. Incredible. So he's somewhat of a mentor. You'll get to go spend some time with him.
Actually, I'll be getting certified by his company on April 10th and 11th. So I'm very excited.
Excellent. Yep. Very good. So churches, businesses, schools and school districts, who else?
Anybody that wants to understand that the mindset to survive any dangerous encounter is inside them.
Okay.
It starts with you, and you have to believe that you can go home.
That's all of us.
So Frank, kind of, if you could give us kind of like a 5,000, 10,000 foot overview of what, like, your training would consist of? Because like this sounds very similar to like what me and Robert do, what we do in basketball, which is it's called situations. You know, and situations is you're running players through scenarios. Okay, it's 2 minutes left. You're down by three. Go. What do you do? You know what I mean? You got 4 seconds on the clock. You got the ball out of bounds over here at half court. What do you do? You know what I mean? Here's the play we're going to put in. You know, so is it something like that with your course and with your program, what you do?
It's a little over 2 hours long, and it is very interactive. I like to make it very interactive. I'm asking people, like, what is awareness? And I could stand there and tell you what awareness is to me, but awareness might be different to you. Right. So I'm breaking down each piece of it. And then we watch a video that is produced by CPPS, and we go through that video point by point, because anybody can watch a video, but if you don't understand what you're watching and taking it in, and then there's other pieces on there that I can break down a little bit further, since I was a former state trooper, I know certain things that not everybody else will understand. You know, how law enforcement's going to respond to an active shooter incident. Mm. You know, they're not there to help you. You know, they're not there for hugs. They're there to find the person that's doing it.
That was the question that I felt. Remember, that's the one. When you asked me, what is law enforcement there to do when they come into a situation? And I was like, they're there to save me. And, you know, ask me, am I okay? He was like, no. And I was like, what?
They're there to continue to make sure that everyone's safe.
Their job is to, honestly, truthfully, is to neutralize the threat. That is their job, to make sure that the threat that is causing the whatever violence it is neutralized, stopped, you know,
first arrested. And foremost.
That is the hope. Then they go back and then they start taking care of the victims.
Check, see if I'm okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
And then if they need to give you a hug, they'll give you a hug.
Right. Jamar, if you need that hug, they'll circle back around and give it to you.
Get the gurney or something.
Right. So it's about a 2.5.
Oh. It's about 2 hours right now. It might grow. It could, depending on what I come up with after April, it could be 2 hours. It can also be sometimes 4 hours. It depends on what we want to add into it. There's a lot of things after April that I'm going to be adding to this. So I'm just really excited about what this is going to come to in after April.
Perfect. So in the meantime, with our listeners who might be curious about REACT and they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Well, they can send me an email at azreactllc@gmail.com.
Excellent. And let's, if we can, we've got a little bit more time, talk about your real estate practice over at Realty One Group. So you and your wife are a real estate team.
Yes.
And you, I'm sorry, I know you had mentioned she's been doing real estate for a little bit longer than you.
She's been doing real estate for over 12 years.
A lot longer than you.
I've had my license for 6 years and I just went full time.
Yeah.
If you ask her, she wanted me to go full time with her the moment I got my license in 2011. But I was busy, you know, being a state trooper and working on some really cool projects over at DPS. But we do residential real estate and we cover, you know, valley-wide, Phoenix metro area.
Okay. And buyers and sellers?
Buyers and sellers. We love sellers. We love buyers. It's a lot of fun. I mean, for me, it's the only career that I know that at every point in somebody's life that they're buying a home or selling a home, it could be a lot of fun.
What's your most favorite piece of being a realtor?
Being able to give somebody the keys to their home.
Mm.
That is my first week full-time in real estate. I got to give keys to one of our clients. And to see their face and how happy they were in their newer home that was bigger than their other home, it was just priceless, truly priceless. And then going back and selling their old home in less than 24 hours was even better.
Ah, icing on the cake.
It was really good experience.
Is there a price point you prefer to work with, or is it really?
No, we work in any price point. You know, especially since we're referral based, we don't say no. We don't do that. We help everybody, and it could take us. We've been to Buckeye. Lucy's been all the way out to Arizona City, Santan Valley. We've covered every area.
Having a business, especially in real estate, that's referral-based is very impressive. It speaks volumes about who you guys are in the business and how you take care of your clients.
It was very – when I decided to leave DPS, I actually left the – I was working in the division office for DPS, and I was about to finish my assignment there. And I said, you know what? I think it's time for me to move on and do something else. And one of my close friends – her son was selling his condo, and she goes, we want you to sell his condo. And to have that experience and to be trusted with selling that condo meant the world to me. And it was a referral. So, yeah, referrals are amazing.
Love it. Yeah, good.
Awesome. Awesome.
Great stuff. I'm thrilled to have an opportunity to get to know each of you, and whatever we can do at Business Radio X to continue to help support and grow your businesses, please let us know to do that. So let's hear from Jamar and Robert around how people can get a hold of you for the Phoenix League and overall CBL.
So if they're wanting to reach me in the CBL, our website is www.cblhoopsusa.com. My email is commissioner@cblhoopsusa.net. And Robert is phoenixdirector@cblhoopsusa.net. And you could talk with him about the Phoenix League if you're a local player that wants to get in the Phoenix League, or if you're a team owner as well, interested in our team ownership opportunities and stuff like that. You know, we have over close to 1,000 players in our Arizona database that you can select from. That will be happy to play for you. So yeah, you know, definitely reach out to us if you want to contact us and whatnot.
It makes me think of another question. It's a draft. Is there a draft system, or how does the selection work?
Yes, we do have a player draft. So some teams self-assemble, which means they'll bring their own players to the league if they enter their own team. And then some players, we have a formal draft process that we take them through. They can opt in because we're membership-based. They can opt in to be a first-round draft pick, second round, or third round. If you're a first-round draft pick, we take you through, you know, a draft ceremony and all that good stuff. So
again, it's legit.
We make it real.
Yeah. We make it's the real deal.
Yeah. So
it's experience.
You know, we're just, like I said, at the very beginning, we're just trying to make it a great experience for players.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. So,
you know, one of the things Jamal forgot to mention when he was presenting at the 1 Million Cups, he was asking questions, and when people got the answer correct, he gave them some
a lanyard
or something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He made the
our swag.
Yeah, his swag.
Swag.
And he made the experience like it was a lot of fun. He made the experience like they were getting drafted when they won their prize. And it's just on that, if you did that for just to give away the prizes, I mean, I can't wait to see when you are drafting players and how they are really getting that special professional experience.
Yeah, we did the draft experience the first year in Indiana. That's a night where we invite the families out, the players out, and they get to come up on stage. They get a hat for me. They put the hat on. They take the picture with me.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. The family gets to see them. We talk a little bit about them, that kind of thing. It was very special. So that was something that we surveyed the players because we had got away from it. You know, we didn't think the players really wanted that.
But they do.
Come to find out, that's something they really, really want.
It's all part of that acknowledgement and that opportunity to really have other people see and feel how much we love the sport, right?
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That's it. It's the full experience that you both are continuing to keep alive for
absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.